That was quite a song, wasn't it? Let the church say amen. It's an amazing song. It's a song of victory. It's a song of life. It's a song of joy. It's a song of advancement. Death is defeated. Devil's been defeated. Man, what an exciting song. I loved it. I pray that it encouraged you, it blessed you. God, we thank you that death has been defeated. We thank you that we can celebrate every day. We can celebrate life. We can celebrate abundance and hope. We can know each day that death has been defeated. So God, we thank you for that. We thank you that through our bodies is teeming with life, that is teeming with the Holy Spirit, that is teeming with you. And through that, the church is the unstoppable object that is advancing your kingdom, that is shouting your victory, that is bringing hope wherever we go. God, we thank you that we can be that vessel, that we can be that group that is advancing the kingdom for you. God, we love you. We thank you. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, team. We're almost done this series. And I started out this series of reaching out, and it really was a different series. It's been a challenging series because it's different, but I pray that you've been encouraged through it. In fact, I know most of you have been encouraged through it, so thank you for that feedback, because sometimes in series like this, you're not sure how it's going, and I thank you all for, I've gotten so many calls, so many messages thanking me for sharing this. People grab me as they're leaving and saying, you know, just thank you for preaching on this type of a series, because it's something we don't talk enough about as a church, and we're just trying to bring clarity on giftings, and what does that look like within our body. And so this has been our summer series, and this is week 12, I think. And we've talked about through this whole thing about giving, increasing, succeeding, and prospering. And we talked about how the church, according to the New Testament, the role of the church is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry, right? It's to equip you, to help empower you, to tell you and to what the ministry or what the gifts look like, so that you can get activated in your ministry and you can be utilized by Jesus in any area that you go forth. That it isn't my job to go and make sure I do everything in the church or to reach everybody in the community, but it's our job together. And every one of us is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our ministries are to go forth outside of these walls and share the good news. And our ministries are to, while in these four walls, build each other up, build up the church so that we are stronger, so that we can more effectively do the work outside of the walls. It's a twofold thing, right? And we need to have people in all these different areas of the world around us that are new covenant believers. We need to have new covenant believers involved in business, who are great at business, who are influential at business, so that, I mean, it takes money to drive the kingdom, doesn't it? It takes money to go buy groceries for people in our community so that they can have food. It takes money to go pay, help somebody out and pay some bills. It takes money to help, to bring in our single moms and do crafts and minister to them and do outreach with them, and takes money to bring in community people in here. We need to have people who are New Covenant believers involved in the medical industry, don't we? Who are sharing the gospel and not sharing fear. We need to have people who are great at politics that are New Covenant believers. We can't just keep experience the same old in the world of politics. We can't just have whoever, you know, has the most friends or whatever in the right places, they're the guy that's going to lead us. No, we need to have New Covenant believers, and we need to get behind the New Covenant believers. And if we don't have a New Covenant believer where we are, then we stand up and say, I'll be that New Covenant believer and rise up in politics. We need to have New Covenant believers who are engaged in education, in the arts, in movies, in music. We need people of influence in all areas of the world around us. We need to have godly Christian leaders everywhere we go. Jesus told us to occupy until he comes back, and we know for certain that he is coming back. And we know for certain that we need to do everything in our ability and our focus to advance the kingdom of God, and not just sit back and say, oh, I hope Jesus comes back soon. But we need to advance. We can hope that we can wait for him to come. We can long for it, but we can't long for it sitting on our butts. We need to be an activated church. We need to take ground for the kingdom and walk in all the blessings and walk in all the promises that are ours already. We're talking about reaching out and being the best church that we can be to reach out so the world knows who Jesus is. And to do that, we need to all be activated in utilizing our gifts. So I want this to be a season of growth in our gifts. I want this to be a season of growth in each and every one of us. I want us to press in and then start stepping them out. And we've been talking for 12 weeks now. Oh, this is the 12th week. I guess we've talked for 11 weeks. Today will be 12. About this. And we've talked about things like prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And we've talked about leadership and administration. We've talked about words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We've talked about gifts of healings. We've talked about miracles. We've talked about faith. We've talked about giving, mercy, and hope. We've talked about helps. We've talked about service, hospitality, and craftsmanship. And today we're going to talk about exhortation and discernment. So we're just going to jump right into Scripture. And I hope I have the right Scripture in the right order for you, Ella. It says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." Oh, I lost my spot. "As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have been members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that has been given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to his hospitalities." That's Romans 12, 3 to 13. And then we got one more verse today, and it's 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 2, and it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of the prophet of all. For it is one, for to one is given this word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretations of tongues. But one of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So the gift of discernment is what we're going to start talking about today. The gift of discernment is a God-given insight or ability to spiritually identify falsehoods or to distinguish between right and wrong motives, to speak in and discern what is going on. And I shouldn't use the definition with a word in the definition, I know. To understand and gain full understanding of the situation that is going on around you or in somebody's life. A person with the gift of discernment is able to see with spiritual eyes. We're not looking with man eyes anymore. When you're discerning, you are looking with spiritual eyes. What is happening concerning spiritual forces at work in different situations. We are looking spiritually at things. The gift of discernment is evident in those who have an unusual ability to see through confusion and pinpoint problems and solutions. They are primarily concerned with what is right and what is wrong. Those with the gift of discernment tend to listen well, and God gives them the ability to hear what others can't hear, so that they can shed light on a specific situation. I know I've had times, and maybe you've had times, where somebody with the gift of discernment is speaking into your life or speaking into a situation. And you're just like, sometimes you, and maybe this is just me, okay? Maybe it's not you, but I'm just like, shut up. No, that's not it at all. That's not it at all. Stop speaking. You don't even know what's going on in my life. And oftentimes they know, and I just get bent out of shape because I got a little bit of pride or whatever is happening, right? And I think I know better. And sometimes, because I'm engaged in the situation, I can't see how it really is around me. Do you know what I'm saying? Has that ever been happened to anybody else? Maybe it's just me. But it's important to listen to when somebody is speaking with some discernment, to take time and listen and check it. Believers with the gift of discernment can easily distinguish between the good and evil, truth and error. They often walk into situations and ask many questions to ensure that they are hearing from God correctly what is happening to this person and maybe trying to glean some information. Those with the gift of discernment will often relate a problem or a situation to a biblical story or principle to help bring clarity to the situation. And they feel strongly about obeying truth by the Word of God. The gift of discernment is much more than a simple intuition or keen observation. That's important and critical. Some people have great intuition, but they don't have the gift of discernment. And it's up to them to really realize and spend time in that. And that's why when somebody gives you a word of discernment, you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you after they've given you that word, just to ensure that it's correct. Discernment is insight that is given by God for the benefit of the person or the matter at hand. So if you feel like you have this gift of discernment, here are a few things that you should lean into. You should listen first to what God is saying. When listening to people, allow your discernment to lead you. Because some people tell a really good story, don't they? Like, you feel led into a situation, you're talking to someone, and they're like, yeah, but it was the other person, and they tell you the really good story. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and not just listen to what they say. You need to trust your ears and your discerning ears and speak with a discerning tongue to this person. You need to be confident in the moment God allows you to see beneath the surfaces and then act and speak appropriately. And you need to step out and speak when led to, and be comfortable remaining silent when led to. Because there are also times where you're going to be instructed by the Holy Spirit to be silent. I'm going to say that one again, actually. There's going to be times where we need to listen to the Holy Spirit and be silent. Sometimes it's going to take everything within us because we have this discernment in our lives and we are going to, I got to tell us, I got to get this out. But there are times where we just need to be silent and allow things to happen. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in that person's life or into that situation before our words can come out. Okay? Now we need to stay away from some things. We need to not be too critical. Don't become too critical of situations, of people, of what's happening. Because when people are involved in the situation, sometimes they just can't see right from left, up from down. Don't be timid in sharing when led to share. Even when it's a difficult conversation that has to be had. Don't become dogmatic when you're sharing and talking and in the situation. And don't become lacking in areas of mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. We need to, when we're sharing and we're given this discernment, we need to still do it with mercy and grace. We need to do it with love still. Everything we do has to be done with love, doesn't it? And trust me, there's a loving way to be firm and give firm correction. The next gift we're going to talk about, the last gift we're going to talk about today is the gift of exhortation. And the gift of exhortation is a God-given anointing to help people walk in a God-honoring direction. People with the gift of exhortation use God-given words that are delivered through written or spoken word and always point to a biblical truth. Believers with the gift of exhortation have a special anointing to minister words of comfort, consolation, encouragement, counsel, words of warning to other members of the body of Christ. This gift is meant to be offered in such a way that the receiver of these words helps feel helped or healed, encouraged and blessed. A person with this gift is often given heavenly insight and understanding of people's life and their situations, and are sometimes able to perceive what a person can do to move forward. These two gifts of exhortation and discernment work hand in hand and are very closely related. This gift can also be used in the context of a larger group of people. So it's not just a one-on-one gift. It's also ability to be used in this larger group. Where God would give people with the word of exhortation to share it and others to respond and receive the gift as a group rather than just one individual is a huge undertaking and a huge matter of trust if you have this gift of exhortation. A person with the gift of exhortation is not only limited to encouragement, they are also able to speak words of life that encourage, that promote positive change, warn others to move away from a sinful or damaging behavior, or encourage people to step into life. When we speak words of exhortation, if that is your gift, you are a speaker of life. Critical, critical piece. Far too many people, in my opinion, Far too many people in this world around us feel that when they have that gift of exhortation, they're just bringing the negative goods. That's my job. I just got to share this with the church. But instead, when you have a word of exhortation, you are sharing life. You are a life bringer, a life share, a life giver. It's critical to know that. Sometimes there is a word of cautionary word, but that word is a correction from that sinful nature like we just talked about. And it's not, you're going to go to hell. Well, we know that's a consequence of sinful living. But it's come and join us as we walk in this heavenly life and we get to walk in the kingdom and experience the benefits of the kingdom. You're sharing life. You're not sharing death. You know what I mean? It's critical to be sharing life. Because as the church, we are life sharers. We are life givers. We are life experiencers, aren't we? I hope so. If you have this gift, some things to lean into is be perceptive to the needs of others. Come alongside the discouraged, the stuck, the hurting, to offer comfort and strength to them, to offer direction to them, to offer the life to them. Isn't it hard sometimes when somebody's just bummed out and discouraged to just come alongside them? And like, maybe it's just me, but sometimes I find I get pulled into that too, don't I? Maybe you do? It's encouraged to come alongside and remember, we are the life bringers. We're not going to let their smudge, I was going to say smut, but that's not the right word either. Their mess, we're not letting their mess pull us down. We are bringing life when we come into a situation, right? We're bringing life, life givers. We need to always seek that our words point people towards Jesus and His promises, right? Not, well, I guess you're a goner. See you later. No, Jesus brought us life. We have, oh, I see him spitting everywhere again. He brought us life, and we should be live that life to the fullest that he's brought you when you walk in his promises according to his scripture. He's given you all these things, not, oh, I don't know how you're going to make it through next week. Let me know how that works out for you. He has given you this already, right? Point people towards God and his promises. Point them to Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak and work through you to them. Speak what is necessary and beneficial, and not just what you think they want to hear, but speak truth. Encourage others to grow and seek the Lord on their own. Point them to Scripture. Point them to the Word. Be positive and compassionate regardless of the situation. Share life. Be supportive and sensitive and share life in all circumstances or seasons. You can always share life. When my dad passed away, we didn't just sit there and mope about the death. We shared the life that he had. Right? We talk about the good things and the memories and the life that he brought into our lives. And in the same way, Jesus brought life into our lives. So should we not share the life that he has given us? If all you do is focus on the death, boy, it's pretty easy to start looking in the negative directions. But when we share life, boy, can things change. I'm so excited I can't even speak clear today. Sorry, I need a drink. And likewise, there's things to stay away from. Don't become too simplistic or the other side of that, overly complicated. The Word is clear. The Word of God is crystal clear. It's not some gem that we have to take every third G and get the words we're trying to say. Read the Word. It's clear on the direction for our lives, and it's clear on how to live our lives as godly believers, and it's clear the promises that are there for us. Don't oversimplify the Bible, but don't make it overly complicated. Take time to listen. Take time to listen. Avoid jumping in and jumping to quick conclusions or advice. I think I shared a few weeks ago, this is a folly of many men. This happened ever. Well, did you do this? Did you do this? I don't know how many times Stacy's come home and told me about something that happened at work, and I gave her 12 solutions to her problem before she even finished telling me about her problem. All my solutions were right, by the way, but you know what I mean, right? Let's just take time to listen. But here's the key to that listening, okay? Can you stick with me on the key to this? Listen to the person, listen to the Holy Spirit at the same time. Because if you just listen to the person, you're going to get caught up over here, and you're going to miss the Word of God and the voice of God speaking to you. You need to do both. Don't become fearful and begin to avoiding confrontation when it is needed. Don't forget where your real wisdom also comes from. Well, I went to school for 30 years, so I know a thing or two about how to speak to people's lives and what's going on and how to solve all the situations. No, that's going to get you part of the way. But the real wisdom that we get and we speak from comes from Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Comes from heaven. Comes from God. And we need to step it out and we need to trust the voice of God. It's not just in our everyday regular things that we do, but it's in our gifts. If we have this gift of exhortation, we need to spend time listening and knowing where the truth comes from. I'm going to invite the music team up. We're getting two this week, and next week we're going to talk a bit about tongues. Should be fun, hey? And I really do, and I said this at the start of this message, I say this every week, I pray that this series, although simplistic and different, I pray it stirs you. I pray that it empowers you and impassions you to do something, to be activated, to advance the kingdom of God. Because we know we all have gifts. We all have different gifts available to us. And we've talked about don't discredit some of those gifts, like the things like service, and say, well, I'm just the slave in the house, or I'm just this, and but it's a spiritual gift that is utilized by our body. And we all have these gifts, and we need to all walk in our various gifts and not discredit any of them. Craftsmanship, another one, right? Huge gifts. Huge. And we need to walk in them, and we need to trust, and we need to know. So I'm going to invite you guys to stand. Whether you're here or watching online, I'm going to invite you all to stand. And what I want us to do is, we've got one more week to talk about this, and I want to ask Holy Spirit to just encourage us, each of us, to step out our gifts and to show us and reveal what our gifts are. I had mentioned a few weeks ago I was going to give you guys this paper to fill in to do your giftings, and I forgot to mention to you guys the week after why I haven't done that yet, is because I really felt in my spirit that you guys needed some time to spend in your spirit rather than just going through this checklist and pointing you maybe what the right direction might be for your gift. But I wanted you guys to spend time with the Holy Spirit in His Word, reading about these gifts that we've been talking about, and just understanding where your gifts are, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you rather than some piece of paper that might be right, might not. And yeah, like I said, it was just a guide to point you maybe in the right direction, but I really felt after that we needed to take time on our own in His Word, and just to be encouraged and built up and know where our gifts are from Him. So we're just going to pray right now. I'm just going to invite you guys to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if you don't know where your gifts are. Maybe you feel there's a new gifting coming in your life and somewhere else that you can serve or something else that you can do and be activated for Him to do. I'm just going to invite you to just pray and ask for that understanding and clarity in your life. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you for each person watching online today. God, we thank you for each person that's here in church with us at Sunday Church. And God, we praise you and thank you for the gifts that you give each and every one of us. Father, we thank you that you bring clarity to our gifts. Father, that you bring purpose to our lives through these gifts. You bring confidence in our ministries through these gifts. So God, we thank you for each gift that is represented here. Each person that is represented here online and in person today, God, we thank you for them. And Father, right now we all pray and thank you for the revelation of the gifts that you have given us. God, I pray that we would be confident in seeking out these gifts that you've given each one of us, that we would be confident in knowing of the blessings that you've poured out into our lives. And God, I pray that as a church, we would be a people that would seek you out, and that we would be a people who would spend time in your word and with you, God, knowing and realizing what the gifts are that you've given us. And I pray, God, that we would continually do this, Father, and we would be seeking and longing for a greater portion of gifts in our lives. Father God, I pray that we would be a people that would come back for second helpings and third helpings of your gifts and your blessings, God. God, I pray that as you are revealing gifts to people over the next little while, God, that they would be a people that would step out and step into these giftings, God. Father, I pray that you would give each of us boldness as you speak to us about our gifts, God, that you would give us boldness of where we can serve, and that we would be willing to step into that place of service. God, I pray that as we spend time listening, that we would hear your voice and we would be clear on where you want us to go and what you want us to do. And that it wouldn't be a question of if, but it'd be a question of how much more can I do? It wouldn't be a question of I don't have enough time, but it would be thank you, God, for the time to do this, to minister. Thank you for this portion, God. Father, I pray that you would soften our hearts and our minds as we just develop and grow in these giftings, God. Father, we pray that you would just continue to reveal life to us. Continue to reveal our gifts to us. And God, continue to allow us to be used by you in all things. Father, we love you. And God, this week as we go forth, God, I pray that we would be a church and a people that continue to press in to know our giftings. And that we would boldly and courageously grab those gifts and run with them. And Father, this week that we would be a people who would spend time in your word seeking you. That we would be a people that would be praying for our leaders and for our nation and for the nations of this world. Father, that we would be a people that would be using our voice and using our roar and sharing the gospel and sharing the victory. So God, bless us this week. Thank you for each person online and in person today. Thank you for those that were unable to join us from church today. God, we pray that you'll touch them, encourage them, and love them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.